8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Knotfest.com presents Talk to Me. With over 300 interviews under his belt and 6 years running, your host Joshua Toomey interviews metal and rock's heaviest hitters. Follow the show at Talk to Me Talk. Here's your host, Joshua Toomey.
Guys, let's welcome the great, legendary Terry Glaze to the Throwback Throwdown with Toomey here on Knotfest Twitch. How you doing, Terry?
Doing okay. How you doing, young man?
Doing well, man. Before we dive into anything, I wanna say I was looking at your Wikipedia, and I click on your wife. I think I might need to talk to your wife, man. She's got an interesting life, man.
My wife is way cooler than me,
right? All the NASA stuff, man. I was just like, wow, that's amazing.
Well, good luck. Send her an email. Maybe you can get on her calendar. That's how I end up seeing her.
Right.
But no doubt my wife is way cooler than me. So
yeah, it looks like she's a part of the, getting women in space and things like that, man. So very, very cool. Very cool lady to have in the house there.
You already knew that I'm the luckiest guy in the world. Yeah. And all my friends hate me. It's really good.
So talk to before we dive into some of your past, let's talk about your present, man. So what's this Evil Freely? What are we doing here?
So Evil Freely is a new band that we did with some friends in Texas. Everything was recorded in Dallas a couple years ago, and we were just about to finish it, and the pandemic happened.
Right.
And so we finished it long distance. I finished the things here in Maryland. I'm on the East Coast.
Right.
And so we finished it this year, and we've never played a live show. And it's our goal was like 70s rock and roll, our favorite stuff. So it's me on vocals and guitar. It's my partner, Tommy Roberts, on lead guitar. And then my favorite bass player in the world, Kenley Wolfe from Lord Tracy and, you know, everything. He's on bass, and our friend Taz Bentley is on drums. And I've been playing with Kenley and Taz for the last 10 or 11 years. They had just been with different versions of things when I would go to Dallas to play. They would always be the rhythm section. And so it's the most comfort zone, you know. It's just you don't have to think. So we finished it this year. The cool story about the whole process was Tommy and I had talked about doing something for years. And we both love the Beatles, and we both love Telecasters and Voxes and Echoplexes and whatever. So we started sending riffs back and forth on our phones.
Right.
You know, we would just, hey, look at this, you know, whatever. And once we collected enough, we thought, you know, you want to meet up in Dallas and record just for fun? So we put the songs kind of together in a rough mix, and we mailed them to Taz and Kenley, and we practiced one night, and then we drank beers and ate tacos. We went out, whatever.
Best thing to do,
which is really what it's all about. The next day, we went in the studio and recorded 3 songs, and no expectations, because what's the worst thing that happens? I get to visit with my friends, hang out, and play rock and roll.
Right.
So we get done with it. We were like, this is not half bad, and it was a lot of fun. So we write some more songs through the mail, and we end up going back to Texas a couple months later. We practiced for 2 nights.
Hey, much better.
We had tacos and Tex-Mex, and then we went in the studio for 3 days. We cut all the basics. Ooh, let me turn that off. We cut the basics the first day. I did vocals, and then Tommy did leads. And we finished a lot of it. And we're really jazzed about it. So by this time, we've got 5 songs. We've been in, we've rehearsed 3 days. We've jammed, we've recorded for 3 days. We've never played these songs before, though. I cut my guitar tracks live with Taz. So most every song was first or second take. So I've only played these songs with the band 2 times, you know, so it was really amazing. We finished it. And then we thought, man, I want to put it out, but I don't want to put it out and it be forgotten because we can't play gigs yet. So we decided we have 5 songs. So we put 1 out a couple months ago. And the reason we put it out was just kind of a test to see if we could even figure out how to do it ourselves, because we're guerrilla style, you know, we're just doing it everything ourselves. And everything magically worked. It was on the web, and you know, so it was like, I kind of know how to do it. So tomorrow, our second single is coming out. It's called You're Gonna Get It. And the name of the band is Evil Freely. And if you haven't figured it out, it's half Ace Frehley and half Evel Knievel.
We were
going to go with Ace Knievel, but we ended up with Evel Frehley. We're hoping to get, sued and shut down by all of the powers that be. It would be my goal if Ace, you know, if Ace's attorney threatened me. I would love that. You know, it'd be so cool.
Yeah, Ace's attorney, Evel's family, you know, something comes out, you know.
I was in Lawrence, Kansas this summer. And one of my family was like, you know, there's an Evel Knievel museum just down the road here. And I was like, what? So we drove over there to Topeka and it was awesome. And so anyway, it's like all the heavens were telling me this is what I should do. So anyway, I'm really excited about it. I'm really excited about it. Casey Diorio, produced and mixed it. It sounds freaking cool. And, our goal would be to maybe release a third single, maybe after the new year, and then dribble two more. And then maybe by that time we can put out the whole EP and play some shows. That's what I want to do. I want to play live rock and roll. I want to jam with my friends. And you know, that's the goal. So,
oh yeah, that should be everybody's goal. You know, ironically, the photo we used for you coming on today, you're wearing a Norma Jean shirt. The guest I had in the first hour was Josh Scoggin, the original vocalist of Norma Jean.
Nice.
Is that, I was thinking, do you keep up with current music? I mean, Norma Jean's not current. I mean, they're kind of a legacy band at this point, but I mean, did you kind of keep up with what's going on, or you know, kind of keep an ear out to the newer stuff, or you know keeping up with everything going on?
Oh yeah, man, I buy one or two CDs every week still. I want to support all the musicians so they can keep making art.
Yeah,
I mean, but yeah, there are so many new-ish records that are coming out. Could be old bands, could be new bands, but I'm always searching for anything for inspiration. And, you know, I like a little bit of everything. I don't like all of any genre, but you can pretty much find something in almost every style. You know, if you want to know what some of the things that I've been listening to, Sturgill Simpson has put out like three records over the pandemic. I love that new thing. I can't wait for the new Darkness to come out. I think it comes out tomorrow.
Okay.
Love the Darkness. Young band Starcrawler. I saw the Eagles this summer.
There you go.
I've never seen them, but I was like, man, I gotta go. Joe Walsh is up there on the stage. And it was so, even though, you know, it wasn't like the old days, it was so inspiring. Vince Gill was singing some Eagles tune and I was bawling my eyes out. It was so, you know, inspiring. That's the word you want to be. You want to be passionate. You want to be inspired and have a reason to get out of bed every day.
Oh, that's absolutely the goal. Yeah. You know, I was looking back on our talk, you know, you came on my Drag the Waters Pantera Side podcast that I was doing there for a minute. And, you know, the theme of this show is also Throwback Throwdown, which is a, you know, go back into the past and things. And I don't think I really nailed like your early days and like what got you into music. I think I started when you met Daryl and those guys, but like, what was the stuff that kind of brought you into wanting to be, you know, a singer and be a guitar player?
When I look back, my mom, Judy Glaze from Harlingen, Texas, I remember two Elvis records, a Beatles record, and a Beach Boys record. And I just remember that's my oldest thoughts of playing those four records over and over and over. And it's, what's funny is to me is Beatles and Elvis, because my favorite band is Cheap Trick. So I don't think it's an accident. I think my mom set me up with some really good music. And I think it was I'm born in 64. My mom took me to see Elvis in 1972, I think it was, in Fort Worth, Texas.
That's awesome.
Tarrant County Convention Center. And that's my first concert. I think my first concert I went to in middle school, I think I saw Kiss.
Nice.
Like on Love Gun. which is, you know, oh, so incredible. And then years later, on my 50th, I was in Vegas with my best friend, Scott Silvey, and he took me to see Kiss in Vegas. So a lot hasn't really changed, you know. I maybe saw Norma Jean the night before in a little punk bar in Vegas. I think that's where I got that shirt.
Okay.
I didn't know who they were. I just went, this is amazing. You know, yeah. It was really, really cool.
That's awesome. I'm glad to see that you kind of kept up with music and going and checking out bands and clubs and
every
things
day.
Like that. Yeah, man.
Every day over the pandemic, another thing that's been, you know, you try and make the best out of a shitty situation.
Yeah.
I have been able to reach out to some of my most favorite musicians during the pandemic and get them to record remotely on some of my songs. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for pandemic, they would all be touring. There's no way in hell. I mean, these are just all legendary people. I've finished three or four solo tracks with all these incredible musicians that I'm finishing up right now. I have another record that my friend Brian Schubel in San Diego is mixing. It was the band I had right after Lord Tracy. I had a band called Blowfish.
Okay.
And we found the tapes, and I'm mixing an album from 1993, and it sounds so badass. So the point being, I've been busy trying to make hay, and I probably have enough music for the next 2 years that I don't want to release it all at once. And then, you know, all the trees fall in the forest and nobody hears it.
Right.
But I'm excited to share it with you. And it's all a little bit different, but it all really rocks really good. So really excited.
So let's dive back into those Pantera days and some of this stuff we covered before, but just, you know, the newer listeners and the new people watching and stuff, you know, the early days of Pantera, you know, what brought you and Dime and Vinny and Rex together?
Well, I had a little band with Tommy Bradford, one of my best friends. He played bass. But our drummer was from middle school. We were in like 10th grade.
Yeah, you can't have a middle school
drummer. Yeah, yeah. And we wanted to – Vince was the best drummer in our school. And our football team was awful.
Okay. But
our pep rallies were off the hook because the drum line, there were four guys playing snare drums, and it was a show, and it was incredible. And so because of jazz band, I think Tommy said to Vince – this story's out there, but he said, hey, you want to jam? So – me and Tommy and Vince, I think we learned like Rush 2112 Live or something like that. Right. We jammed in my garage. We played instrumental, the whole record. And we were like, man, this was amazing. Now, we had a band. Tommy and I had a band, and the drummer's name is Donnie Hart. And Donnie had a PA and a microphone. And back then, that's how you're the singer. You know, David Lee Roth, whatever, you know. And so we wanted to jam with Vince. And the way I remember it was Vince would take our singer – if we would take his little brother, Daryl, who was in middle school.
Right.
We were not at all interested in that right. little kid. Little did we know, you know,
who that
the talent,
yeah.
as we would call him now, the talent. So lucky that we weren't total a-holes. And we said, you know, yeah, okay. So we get this little kid with an afro who had the biggest tone already. And then the bonus was Vincent Daryl's dad was a recording engineer.
Yeah.
So early on, we would write little songs and we'd go in and record them. And they weren't very good. But, you know, we learned the process and we got better and we copied our heroes. About that time, the new Def Leppard, the first Def Leppard came out. We played all that shit. We played Wasted and, you know, all of that. And we were playing all these songs. We were playing parties. And then we just start to build. And their father was so supportive and took us to our gigs because we're all underage.
Right.
And we're going and playing. And that's kind of how it all got started. And it was the greatest. I stepped in it. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. Then all of a sudden, you know, that's the guitar player in your first band. Yeah. So it was pretty good.
I love watching those old videos of Daryl because he played and looked and acted, not looked, but the presence of him was almost the same throughout his entire career. Like those early records, those leads still sound, you know, you hear Daryl in those leads.
I say that to everybody that the three records I did now that my singing sounds like you know, I'm trying to sound like Motley Crue or Def Leppard or whatever, because that's what was going on in that time period of music, right? But the music is just as valid. Daryl's tone was there from day one, especially by the time we get to the second record projects, because on the first record, it's our first time we're learning. By the second record, I didn't even play guitar on the second record. That's all Daryl. And he was just, he went in his room. There was no YouTube to learn how to play things. He went in his room for about 6 months back then and just kind of came out like a freaking butterfly. He was just fully formed. And from that moment on, he was a force to be reckoned with. And it was just the greatest feeling. Every gig, we practiced all the time. We played all the time. And, you know, you're standing there and to your left is freaking Daryl.
Right.
There's a lot of confidence. Every band I've been in, I've been so lucky to surround myself with the best musicians. And so, you know, that's your goal. You want to be the worst one in the band and you'll be doing okay. You know, because those other three guys were incredible.
Yeah, and not to take away from Rex and Vinny, because Rex and Vinny locking in as a rhythm section, one of the most badass rhythm sections of all time.
You got to think about it, too. We started playing together in 81.
Yeah.
So by the time they get, you know, Cemetery Gates, I think that's 89, 91. Maybe?
Yeah, 91.
So. Oh, okay.
91.
But the point being, that overnight sensation band, that rhythm section, been playing together for 10 years. Yeah. So pretty freaking good band.
Another thing, looking back on those old videos and stuff, I mean, you guys had an arena level show in these clubs. I mean, how much time did you guys spend on, you know, building lights and building things for the stage?
That's all we did. One of our best buddies, Ken Webster, or we called him Pyro. He's the one that blew up everything and smoke. And we had sound back then. We tried to bring arena to every place we played. And, you know, we never wanted to be the best band in Arlington, Texas. We thought, well, somebody's going to be the next Van Halen. Why not us?
Right.
So we were too naive to realize that you can't do this. And that's why the band just kept going.
So crazy. So crazy.
So fortunate. So lucky to get to play with those guys.
So earlier I asked you to rank the three albums that you're on and maybe give a little story.
Oh, you didn't say the three albums I'm on. Yeah. You said your three favorite Pantera records.
Oh, well, we could go that way, too, if you want to go
that
way.
That's way better.
I was thinking we were going to go with the three originals. But, yeah, we'll rank your three favorite Pantera records, then.
Number three, I Am the Night. We had gone and seen Metallica in Tyler, Texas, at the junior college or whatever it was, in the giant cafeteria. We actually played that same room, too, later. But that is what's going on when you hear that record. We had discovered Metallica. We had a cassette tape in the Suburban. We drive around and we listen to that shit. And so that's kind of the influence that where that came from. You know, I wrote some songs. Vince and Daryl would write songs. I'd write lyrics. Vince and Daryl would write songs. Their father would write lyrics. So, but that's kind of where that record came from. So how's that?
And that's nice. So, and that would be the time around where those photos that come around of Dime and Hetfield hanging out. And there's actually one I just saw the other day that I'd never seen before. And it's Hetfield and Rex, I think, on stage together. Like, I don't, you know, so I'm assuming
they got up jammed. I think they got up jammed at Savvy's, or I don't know, all the guys back home, they can, you know, comment and tell us what I'm, you know, I don't remember things right. I just remember it how I like to tell. I'm trying to make it good, you know.
There you go. Yeah. All right. So number two.
Projects in the Jungle.
All right.
That is Def Leppard and Motley Crue mixed together.
Yes.
Plus Van Halen. I mean, Van Halen's just, you know, my favorite. But that's what's coming on there. Daryl, we had done the first record and kind of figured it out a little bit. But by the second record, we were starting to really come together as a great four piece, you know. Mm-hmm. And I played guitar live, so we could do stuff. But my favorite stuff was when it was more like Van Halen. Mm-hmm. You know, I just wanted to run around. And heck, Daryl was the best anywhere. So it was really a lot of fun.
All right. And number one.
Vulgar Display.
Oh, well, there we go. Can't go wrong with that one.
No. I was playing in Dallas one night at the Basement. And Daryl came out to see us play. I was playing with Lord Tracy. And Daryl came to the show. I think he stage dived and whatever. And after the gig, he goes, do you want to come out in the limo and hear my next record? And I was like, he didn't say it that way, but that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
I said, well, yeah. So we go sit out there. He's got a cassette tape before Vulgar came out, and we sat in the back seat of a limo, and he played me Vulgar Display. And I remember Mouth for War, and he was air guitaring, and he was looking at me, and he was like, what do you think? I said, Van Halen. He was like, I know, right? And that's one of my happiest moments. When I think about Daryl air guitaring to Mouth for War before it came out, you know, in the back of a car. That was a good night.
When you hear stuff like that and you're not in the band anymore, you're obviously doing your own band. But I mean, when you hear Vulgar Display of Power with that Pantera name on it, man, you're like, oh, I wish I would have been on that. Or were you just kind of over at the time?
I was just so proud of my friends. Yeah. I was so happy. Man, it was just so good. You hear something good like that, it's unstoppable. Just, you know, just that I got to hang in the car with Daryl. That was a good night. It was really good. My band was kicking ass at the same time, so there was no regrets. Mm-hmm. I don't really go that way. Once I make a decision, I take all the information I can get and make the best decision I can, and then I just move. Now, I might be the wrong one in somebody else's opinion, but man, freaking living the dream. I'm very thankful every day I wake up.
You know, there are a lot of Pantera fans that really, you know, love those first four, you know, pre Cowboys from Hell albums. And a lot of times, you know, you'll ask people what are their favorite Pantera albums, and they will go with one that you were on. It's pretty crazy how that early stuff, even though it's hard to get with YouTube and stuff, I mean, you can hear it now, but how much that stuff has kind of lasted over the years.
Yeah, it's incredible, but I'm, like I said, just thankful.
Yeah.
You know, it's all learning experience. I just listened to, you know, All Over Tonight. I think you were playing it before it came on. And, you know, we're little kids figuring it out. And, but it's still that guitar parts, man, that kid was pretty good.
Yeah, definitely good. So when was the last time you spoke to Rex, spoke to Phil, spoke to anyone in the Pantera camp? Do you remember? Was it the time Rex got up with you?
No. Sometime after that, I can't remember. They had recorded that Arms of the Sun record, and he called me and said, hey, check this out. And we touched base on it. So it's been a couple years. I'm not sure. The last time I spoke to Vinny was, when that other record came out, the last record they did. I'm trying to think what it's called.
Damage Plan.
Yeah. That record had come out, and I was playing in Dallas. So who knows when this was. Vince and Daryl had been in Europe. They had just come home from doing like press for that record.
Right.
And I was playing in Dallas, and Vince came out. I said, where's Daryl? He was like, he crashed. So Vince hung out, watched us jam, and we, you know, kind of talked and BS'd at the end of the gig. And, you know, I was hoping to see him sometime soon. And pretty soon after that is when we lost Daryl.
You know, that might be the first time I've ever heard a story of Dime not hanging out. It's always everyone else has crashed out and Dime is still there.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes. Yeah, it was like that when I was with him 24/7. It was like being with wrestlers. You know what I mean? Like the Thunderbirds or something. They were full on character the whole time. I kind of liked to decompress every now and then.
Right. Yeah, every band I interview that has any history with Pantera, they're always like, there was a Thursday night, I was trying to hide from Daryl. The next thing you know, the bus door opens up and here he comes. And
he
was just too much for everybody.
He's going to find you.
He's going to get you.
Yeah, but you know, the greatest guy ever, he would give you the shirt off his back.
He was
just the most sincere, passionate artist that I'm just so, like I said, so lucky to be around. One of my all-time favorite people, not just musicians, but, you know, great kid.
Yeah, and I've said this story a couple times before. Met him as a kid when I was like 14, 15, and then I got to talk to him like maybe 2 months before, you know, he was taken from us, and awesome the entire time. And you walk away, you're like, Dimebag's my favorite, my best friend. You know, like, no matter what, man, he was always
the best friend. He had a way of doing that.
Yeah. So much fun. How often do you get hit up on social media from people like me and you know, just Pantera fans from back in the day that reach out to you? How often is that?
Pretty often, but it's always cool.
Yeah.
A new friend of mine, just mailed me over vinyl, wanted me to autograph him. He lives in England.
Nice.
And Daryl and Vince had autographed those records in the old days, and he wanted me. And the thing that was so cool about it was he got the records. He's a teenager. He got the vinyl from his dad.
Oh, wow.
And so it really meant a lot to him. And it was just so cool. And, you know, to get it and just, you know, it was a really cool day. So it's always cool to get, you know, to get reminded that this music means something and to people. And you know, it's just cool.
How cool was it for you as a kid, you know, getting vinyl, you know, with you, with your face on it, you know, with, you know, holding a vinyl record of your own.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that incredible hearing yourself on the radio. When we were in high school, there was a local radio show on Saturday nights and like Ricky Lynn and Savvy would be playing or Rocky and Lightning would be playing and they'd be on this radio channel. So we recorded in the studio and we got our song on the radio and it wasn't that great. It was pretty darn cool, you know. And then later with Lord Tracy, hear your song on the radio, or you get to Florida and they play a whole side of your record, or the first time you see your video out with the boys on MTV. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite, you know, I just remember getting, you know, all of that. But one of my most favorite moments ever was probably 89, 90, we were in Memphis. Mm-hmm. And Lord Tracy, we were in a gentleman's club. And all of a sudden, our song East Coast Rose came on. And the most beautiful angel came walking straight toward me, singing my lyrics. And I just remember thinking, it was so great. So that was pretty good. That was a good night, too.
It reminds me of a story, and I'll make it quick, but I took years ago when Deftones were kind of coming up, some friends of mine were friends with them, and we took Chino to a strip club, and he goes to get a dance, and then Deftones comes on, and as he's getting the dance, the lovely lady there goes, I wonder what this is. This is really good. And, you know, she got up and left, like she was giving a dance to the guy that was on the song. And
well, the girl who walked out during my song had put my song on knowing we were standing there. So it was intentionally amazing.
Oh, yeah, you can never go wrong with that. As we start winding down here, man, you know, are you, we've talked that you're going to get singles out and things like that. Is this going to, you know, you want to do some shows, get out and do as many as you can and things like that. What's the future of Evil Freely, which is a great name, by the way.
Oh, love it. We have great merch. Go to our webpage, evilfreely.com.
There you go.
But anyway, we got great merch. We already got shut down one of our other merches. That was great. So get it while you can. Get it while it's hot because they might rip it off the web. we have three more songs. Tomorrow, the 19th, the song is called You're Gonna Get It. We have, let's see what I got here. I can go over here, click this.
Okay.
Can you still see me?
I got you, yeah.
See, I'll play you. How about this? All right, that's going to be the next single, probably.
There we go.
Oh, yeah, we got all kinds of stuff going on. So we're hoping to do some shows in the spring. Mm-hmm. Most of us like to hibernate in the cold winter. I'm just kidding. I'm flying out to L.A. for a rocket launch with my wife this weekend. I think we're going up to Elon Musk's Space Force secret.
You're living the dream, man. What a life you've lived, man.
I don't know. It's something cool like that, though. So we'll be out there because I don't like to be cold.
Right.
But yeah, there should be some singles dripping out. We got the one tomorrow. You're going to get it. We've got three more coming after New Year's. Hoping to tie in some shows in Dallas and Memphis with that band. And then, like I said, I got all this other stuff. I just don't know what to do with it yet. Hmm. But there's some really... I'm excited to share a lot of music with everybody out there. So it's looking cool. I also play live around here, but my most favorite thing is original music. you know, I talked about earlier. Man, thanks for having me on today.
Oh, absolutely, man. I hope when you get out there, Elon comes up to you and is like, hey, tell me a couple of Dimebag Darrell stories.
Man, that would be the coolest.
You know Elon's into it.
I would hope so. Who knows? He might like, you know, he might like a different style of music, but everybody likes rock and roll.
Absolutely, man. Well, Terry, man, always great to talk to you. Thanks for taking some time. You guys make sure to check out evilfreely.com and, you know, we'll hopefully see you on tour somewhere.
Thanks, man. I hope I'll see you soon.
The Talk To Me podcast presented by NotFest.com. Follow the show at Talk To Me Talk. Be sure to subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave a review on your favorite podcast app to get the latest from the Talk To Me podcast.